Are you listening in the house this morning? We're going to celebrate that Jesus is good and alive and he's welcome here. Amen.
There is a shaking, the heart's awakened. How God is moving, forever changing.
It's all that I can do. In desperation.
the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. exalted. We sing Jesus, the most beautiful name.
To pray with anyone who has a need. If you have a need today, just come forward and let someone agree with you in prayer that Jesus would touch you. The name of Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. And as you call on the name of Jesus, you will find that he will answer your prayer. You will find that he can touch you at your point of need. He can heal sick bodies. He can restore relationships. He can do all things because he is a great God, all powerful, can do the possible. In the name of Jesus, won't you come as Heidi leads us in singing one more time? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, the most beautiful name that I know. You're the exalted one.
That we can come unto you and you reach out and you touch us and heal sick bodies. I pray, Father, that you would touch Mark and raise him up. Touch Mark, another Mark, Father, that has been requested. We pray for him this day, that you would reach out where he is and bring him and make him whole and well. Restore him in his spirit that he may know you, Father. Touch all of the folks, Father, who are crying out to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, for your name is beautiful and it's powerful. Above all names, the name of Jesus causes demons to tremble. The name of Jesus causes those who would come against you that they would flee. That you have power in the name of Jesus. For we have power. You have given us that power. You have said that we can call on your name. Restore this day, Lord Jesus. Bring a mighty revival to this place, Lord God, to awaken your church that we may know that the name of Jesus has all power over heaven and earth, has all power over the government forces, has all power over every entity in this world in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. We cry out to you, for we need you and we need your Spirit, O Lord, to fall upon us this day and bless us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. The Lord's presence is here today. We want to thank you for being with us today, for joining us today. And we just trust and believe that the Lord's going to continue to pour out His Spirit and His ministry upon all of us today. And before you're seated, we want to encourage you just to reach out and greet those nearby. God bless you this morning. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord today. We want to take a moment, and I believe it's Hayden Oliver up there. Hayden, are you way up there? Nope, yeah, you're waving back at me. Today is Hayden's 15th birthday. So can we put our hands together and wish him a happy birthday? Hayden, enjoy all that hair, because I was there one time too. I'll just leave it at that. So happy birthday to you and many more. We do have several announcements that we want to share with you today, but first of all, I want to invite Sarah Walsh to the platform today. She's coming to share an exciting announcement about Missouri Right to Life. So Sarah, if you would you please come? And would you help me welcome Sarah this morning? Bless you. We'll need a microphone. Need a microphone here. All right. We want to hear what you have to say, Sarah. Go ahead.
Very rarely do anyone say that a former politician needs a microphone.
Yeah, that's right.
Good morning, First Assembly. It is my honor to serve as the new Director of Education and Development for the Missouri Right to Life Education Fund and to share an update. Some say religion and politics should never be discussed. However, the creation of our very lives and the conception of our nation's history are dependent upon these two essential areas: God, who creates and gives us the right to life, and government that secures the right to life. And I've had the distinct honor of serving in both fields. Previously in politics as a state representative and now full-time with Missouri Right to Life, a nonpartisan, multi-denominational, statewide organization. By a show of hands, who here has heard of Missouri Right to Life? Excellent, many of us. If you're like me, you grew up with the Missouri Right to Life newsletter on your family's coffee table right next to the family Bible. As a born-again believer who accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior at a very young age, I've always known that life is God-breathed and unique and precious, and that God has a purpose for every single life from conception until natural death. The Word of God speaks of God's creation of human life and His plans and purposes for unborn children. In Psalm 139, verses 13 to 14, we read, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Founded in 1974, the vision of Missouri Right to Life is transforming society to respect and protect all innocent human life. Missouri Right to Life's mission is to uphold and promote the sanctity of all innocent human life from the inception of biological development through natural death by providing education, by supporting legislation and programs that endorse that ideal, and by organizing citizens for effective results. Missouri Right to Life is an affiliate of National Right to Life, the nation's oldest and largest grassroots pro-life organization with affiliates in all 50 states. I had the privilege of participating in the March for Life in Washington, D.C. last month, and to join more than 100,000 pro-life people celebrating the Supreme Court of the United States overturn of Roe and Casey, which held that the United States Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. In that decision, the Supreme Court held that the authority to regulate abortion must be returned to the people and their elected representatives. In other words, the battle for life is now at the states, which means that our work here at home to advocate and educate for life is more important than ever before. We must loudly stand for life. Abortion impacts many lives. 64,443,118 abortions have been performed in the United States since 1973. We grieve the loss of each of these babies, and we must continue to shine as a bright light in the darkness and stand in love for life. I'm grateful for the efforts of the Pregnancy Help Center of Jefferson City, whose board members include members of this congregation, Nina Meeks and Linda Tillinghast. Thank you for what you do. Chemical abortion is dangerous for the baby and mother. The latest statistics indicate that chemical abortions account for more than 53% of abortions in America. Although abortion is illegal here in Missouri, it is still too easy to obtain abortion pills through the mail from foreign countries and remote prescribers in other states, and it's vital that we take action to educate and protect women and their unborn babies from these dangerous drugs and promote the abortion pill reversal hotline, which is 1-877-558-0333, which, if it administered within the first 24 to 48 hours of that first abortion pill, there's a possibility that the child may be saved. The idea of normalizing death as treatment euthanasia is growing globally. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, is rapidly embracing euthanasia, which is defined as an act of intentionally causing the death of the patient. Canada's government paved the way along this unethical road of death, and its assisted suicide rates are skyrocketing from 1,018 in 2016 to 10,064 in 2021. Here in Missouri, Missouri Right to Life is on the front lines of these battles to lead for life through education, legislation, and organizing Citizens for Life. Join us at a pro-life rally Wednesday, March 8th at the Missouri Capitol First Floor Rotunda with Vicki Hartzler as the keynote speaker at noon on the topic of adoption. Also, you can expect to see more from Missouri Right to Life, educational speaking engagements, invite us to speak with your group, and thank you for allowing me to speak with you today. A strategic voter voice outreach plan and engaging in robust social media presence, educational videos and podcasts, growing our grassroots, and updated literature to help you lead for life in your community, and more as we work to keep Missouri pro-life. I invite you to join me and our Director of Communication and Development, Sherry Lee. Sherry, please stand and wave at a table. At a table in our lobby after the service. And although we will be in the lobby, we are not lobbyists. I invite you all to join me in prayer that the Creator of life, our Heavenly Father, will guide our efforts as we step forward together in faith and in truth and in love. And as we lead for life, may the Lord strengthen us and grant us greater opportunities to achieve our mission of eternal significance, to cherish and protect Missourians at all ages and levels of development. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for your ministry and that excellent report this morning. And we have a few other quick announcements that we want to bring to you. We want to continue to remind the youth of a couple things that I believe today is the registration deadline for the fine arts and their fees and artwork. They're all due today, so get those into Pastor Lisa. Also, if you are still interested, youth, in joining the upcoming mission trip later this summer to Yucatan, they still have room, but they're going to be finalizing that team this month. So if you've been thinking about that, please get with Pastor Lisa. Also, this coming Friday night is our Valentine's Day banquet that we've been talking about for a long time. And it's going to take place at 6 o'clock at next door in the gym. If you're not registered, you need to get with Pastor Deanna today, and she'll get you added to the list. And also, one final word of announcement. We have our annual church business meeting coming up on Sunday afternoon, February the 26th at 3 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. We will be voting on deacons' positions that day. So if you would like to submit someone's name to be considered at that meeting, please visit the sign-up table that's located in the connector. We've got some forms there that you can fill out and a little drop box that you can drop that name in, and then we'll take it from there. All right, that's it in the way of announcements. If you would you stand with us once again as Heidi comes to lead us.
Just to
Amen. God bless you this morning as you're seated. I want to welcome you again today. Thank you for being here. You probably have noticed already that Pastor Lowell is not here today. He is out on vacation. So some of you may have already noticed that the staff probably seems a little bit more upbeat than normal. That's the reason why. So it's not fake joy today in the house of the Lord. It's genuine joy. Just tease. I trust that he's not watching today. Or, as always, make sure we edit that out. But how many can tell that we, that our church staff, we love to have a good time. We love to enjoy each other, and that's the truth. We do. We are a blessed staff. We realize that God has blessed us tremendously, and I know some of the staff is already nodding their heads with me. And our church has blessed us tremendously, and God has blessed us with an amazing lead pastor and preacher in Lowell. Amen. I think we ought to give him a hand clap of appreciation today. I'm not for sure exactly where he's at today, but we're trusting that he's just resting and just having a good time with the presence of the Lord. I got to thinking earlier today that I've worked for Lowell the past 20 years. I can't believe I've been here that long. Can't believe I put up with his abuse for 20 years. So all I can say is that's a clear picture of the strength of the Lord. Amen. I like this today because I can throw out all my shots at him and he's not sitting in the front row to jump up and take over like he normally does when I try to push back a little bit. So we might have a little bit of fun today, but I am grateful that Pastor has given me the opportunity to share the word of God today. And I'm pretty confident that Satan doesn't want this message to go out. It's been a wild week, to say it one way. And we've had a funeral this week. We've had a bunch of other ministry activities. Been a variety of unexpected interruptions. I came to the office even yesterday and was going to kind of work on my sermon, was fired up about it. And I had my breakfast in my little box there at my desk, and I had some leftover shredded hash browns. I didn't want them, so I was going to walk them into the kitchen and throw them away. When I walked around my desk, it's like somebody, like the devil, knocked that out of my hand, and hash browns went all over my office floor. So I thought, okay, devil, I know you're after this message. I worked pretty late on this message till about midnight last night, and only to get to the church this morning at about 6:15. And when I went to pull those notes up, I realized I had lost most of my notes for the message this morning. So I'm just making that disclaimer up front today. So this message might get a little bit wild today, so just be warned. But you know what? I do believe that the Lord wants this message to go out and that he's got something special prepared for us, and I'm looking forward to what he has. Would you say amen? All right, if you would, today I want to invite you to follow along with me as I read our text for our study. I have three short passages that I want to share with you. We want to start back in the Old Testament, where we consider the words of the prophet Isaiah. He was prophesying some 700 years before the arrival of the Messiah. And as we look at this prophecy, we see that Isaiah was actually describing and predicting two particular aspects to the future Messiah's ministry. First of all, he revealed what the Messiah's agenda was going to look like, what the components were and what the purposes were for behind him coming. And secondly, we see that Isaiah made it clear that the ministry of the Messiah, that it would be anointed, that it would be marked by the power of the Holy Ghost, and that would make all the difference. And so we're going to look at those two things today. So if you would, follow along as we begin with Isaiah 61 and verse 1. It says that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Now let's just pause after this first verse. I promise I'm not going to pause up there every verse today. But let's pause for just a moment and note something. In this first line, we actually see a glimpse of the Trinity. Here where it says the Spirit here is the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit. And then it says the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. The Sovereign Lord here represents God the Father. And then it says that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Now the me in this verse is actually Jesus, God the Son. So we see all three persons of the Godhead
present here. So let's continue. Verse 1 again. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Now down in Mark chapter 1 and verse 10, this takes place at the baptism of Jesus. We actually see this is where that anointing, that pouring out of the Holy Spirit first takes place on Jesus' earthly ministry. In verse 10, it says that just as Jesus was coming up out of the water from being baptized by John the Baptist, that he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And then down in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, this is where Jesus, after he was baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit, he goes on to do other ministry, being full of the Spirit, but he ultimately returns back to his childhood hometown of Nazareth. And this is where we pick up the story in verse 14. It said that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Now this is where Jesus declares himself to be the messianic servant of the Lord that's described back in Isaiah 61 that we had just read a few moments ago, that Isaiah wrote some 700 years before the arrival of Jesus. It says verse 18, Jesus speaking that day in the synagogue, he says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In verse 20, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them that today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And at the reading of God's word, everyone said, amen, amen. The world in which we live, as we all know, is a place of great troubles and trials, struggles and sufferings. The problems all around us, they really do seem infinite and endless. They permeate throughout all arenas of life. They exist in homes. They exist in relationships that we have with other people. Sometimes we suffer from different health problems and sicknesses. We have financial problems, just to name a few. But no matter, friends, what the problem is, I want to remind us today that Jesus and his gospel is ultimately the answer. Amen? Amen. Jesus has the solution, because Jesus is the solution. Jesus is our cure. He is our healer. He's everything that we possibly need. So it doesn't matter today what form your problem comes in, Jesus and his gospel is the answer. When Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago, his ministry was designed to meet every human need. Whatever it is that we might face, his ministry came to deliver healing and to meet those needs. And did his ministry, his earthly ministry, did it ever deliver? We know that his ministry delivered forgiveness and salvation to the lost. How many today are thankful that Jesus saved you? Would you say amen? Aren't you glad that you don't have to give an account for your past sins, that those are washed under the blood, never to be held against you? Amen? And you know, some of us today, we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes I got to be reminded of that, because Satan, our own sinful self, will sometimes bring up the past things that we've done, and they'll remind us that, hey, how do you think you can possibly be forgiven for God? But friends, let's be reminded today that the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to wash away all of our sins. Amen? I got to be careful. I didn't plan for that there. Let's not get off on a tangent. But Jesus' ministry delivered. He delivered forgiveness and salvation to the lost. He delivered freedom to those who are enslaved by their own sin or by the other troubles of this fallen world. And we know that his ministry delivered healing to the sick and to the suffering. And we know that as Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, that Satan didn't like it. He was already in action, trying to rise up and to defeat and work against Jesus' ministry and his mission. But how many know that Satan is no match? He's no match for the power over the of the Holy Spirit that was on Jesus' life and ministry. Amen? You see, in John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, John wrote that the reason that the Son of God appeared, he appeared because he came to destroy the devil's work. He didn't come just to push it back, but he's ultimately going to destroy the devil's work. And Jesus, as fully God and fully man, I don't fully know how to explain that. You know, some things we just got to accept from Scripture, but he was fully God and fully man, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to rise up and to defeat Satan and his attacks. And friends, it's through that power that Jesus ministered so effectively, so powerfully, changed so many people's lives. He did so many miracles, so many healings, so many deliverances and salvation that the Apostle Paul closes out his gospel basically just shaking his head as he wrote down for you and I to read all these years later that Jesus did so many other things as well. He said, if every one of them were written down, he said, I would suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room to contain the books that would be written. Jesus had a powerful ministry, amen? He did a lot of good. He helped a lot of people, healed a lot of people. His ministry was dynamite. And it's because, friends, I submit to you, it's because he moved and he ministered under the power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, his ministry life produced much fruit. And before he left this earth, after his resurrection, and before returning to heaven, he turns to his disciples and he commissions them to go and do the same thing. Continue to carry this earthly ministry, this heavenly ministry, and continue to see it go throughout the world and change people's lives so that people might be healed and so that they might be saved. And in order to do that, he said, but first, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And so, friends, today, as we look at this, I want to consider what some of the elements were of Jesus' earthly ministry that we're called to mimic. If we're going to continue to carry his ministry and be effective in the world in which we live, this same fallen world, we're going to make sure we need to go out of here, not under our own human might, not under our own human wisdom, but by his Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so today I want to point your attention real quick to the outline as we consider these three elements of Jesus' earthly ministry. First, let's look at what his ministry agenda was. That is, why did he come to the earth? What were his purposes? The first one that I would submit to you today is that he first of all came to preach the gospel. In verse 18, he said, I have come to proclaim the good news to the poor. Down in verse 19, he says, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So Jesus came to proclaim the good news that we can be forgiven of our sins, that he can give us a new life, that he can give us a fresh new start in life. That's why elsewhere in Scripture, salvation is described as being born again. It's almost like you get a do-over. You get to start over. You get a new life, a new lease on life, a new chance. How many are thankful today that God gave you a second chance in life? But he came to preach the gospel message, the good news that your sins can be forgiven and that you can come back into a right relationship with God so that when we die one day and we stand before him, we don't have to stand there in shame. We don't have to try to stand there under our own good works and our own righteousness, but we have a righteousness that God sent down from heaven above in the form of Jesus, his son, that we can clothe ourselves with so that one day when we stand before him, we don't have to stand under our own power, our own merits, but we can stand under the finished redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you're like me, but have you ever taken time to just stop and try to imagine in your mind what that's going to be like one day when you get your chance to stand before God? You ever thought about that? How many are like me? That can be a little nerve-wracking. Make you a little bit nervous, right? You know? But you know what? As I think about that and I start to get a little bit unsettled and I begin to think, oh, I don't know. I hope I'm all right. I hope I haven't missed it somewhere, God. And then the Holy Spirit begins to bring to me again the truth from the Word of God that says, hey, it's not your righteousness that's going to get you in. It's Jesus. You just show up with Jesus and you're going to be all right. We're going to get on into heaven. Amen? Amen. But Jesus came to preach and to proclaim the gospel to the lost and the dying world around us. And friends, he wants us to do the same. As we leave here today and we go our different directions, it's not just going out in life and just kind of live until we die with no aim, with no focus, but rather when God saves us into his kingdom, he saves us as his servants, as his people, as his disciples. We're supposed to go out and carry and preach the good news of Jesus to the rest of the world around us. So we see that Jesus came to preach the gospel. Next, we see that he came to set the captive free. Verse 18, he says, I've come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to set the oppressed free. John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's actually 1 John 3:8. And then Acts 10:38, it says that Jesus, he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Jesus came to bring freedom to people who have been held captive to sin and spiritual bondage. Friends, I want to remind us today again of something that I know that we're all familiar with, but it's worth repeating, that Jesus, he truly can break the power of any force that's keeping you in bondage. And I wish I could stand up here today and say, once you become a Christian, that you know you never are influenced or bothered again or harassed by the evil spirits around us. But I know that that's not true, that sometimes Christians can even still continue to struggle with sins or emotional torment or other types of things such as physical bondage or even addictions. Whatever it is, friends, know that he can break that and he can set you free. Friends, sometimes we can look at others around us and we can be quick to maybe judge them and say, hey, there's really no hope for them. They are so deep in sin. They're so deep in their problems and struggles that there's really no hope that they're ever going to be set free. And sometimes, I hate to confess, but sometimes I've looked at certain people and I've looked away and I've kind of thought, you know, I don't think there's much hope for them. I'd be lying if I told you I never gave up on someone. And as I thought about that, I was reminded and even when we might give up on people, Jesus never gives up on them. And as I thought about that, I thought back to a young lady in our young adult group several years ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago, by the name of Danielle. Some of you may remember Danielle. But Danielle was a young lady in our group in her 20s. And during her 20s, she was coming faithfully to our group, but she began to stray from the Lord. And she ended up getting into heavy drug use, and she ended up pregnant. She was involved in multiple adulterous relationships. And by the way, let me say this, this is her public testimony, and she gave us permission to share that this morning. But she was on drugs when she had her baby. And the state looked at her, and they looked at her situation, and they realized that she's in no state to be in possession of her own child, her first and only child. So they took that little girl from her, ultimately even terminating her permanently terminating her parental rights. And I remember one night years ago that Danielle, when she was living in Kansas City, she was living in some type of apartment complex that had several levels to it. And she called Dee and I up one night and she was just kind of freaking out. And she was saying, hey, there's people outside my window. There's people outside. They're trying to get in. I can hear them. And we knew that she was either tripping on drugs or demons. And she was just out of it. Just the devil was moving in, ready to destroy her. And ultimately, Danielle, she ended up in federal prison for drug charges. Probably at the time, it probably saved her life. But I remember at that point, just kind of just shaking my head and just hanging it, just kind of thinking, man, I'm afraid this is another one that Satan's going to get. But I remember Deanna kept saying, no, I feel like God's going to do something in her life. And Deanna didn't give up on her. And she continued to pray for her and reach out to her. And then after Danielle was released from prison, she ended up giving her life over to the Lord. She became a Christian. She married a Christian guy. And they went on to have another child. And the couple that had adopted her first child that the state took from her permanently. Not only did they end up allowing Danielle to be in contact with her daughter, but now they let her take her on the weekend and spend time with her. Amen. Danielle today is actively involved in children's ministry at our church in Kansas City. You tell me God can't set people free and change people's lives. She directed VBS, the VBS for the preschoolers back in 2017, 18, and 19. She's co-led a variety of classes at her church. And she's now a leader in her church's oldest kids ministries class. And she's involved in several other ministries. Friends, I want to remind us today that Jesus came to set the captive free. Amen? Jesus also came to heal the sick. Verse 18, he said, I've come to give recovery, to recover the sight for the blind. Friends, if you're sick today, I want to let you know, as I stand on the authority of God's word, that Jesus is still a healer. He has not changed. If you are physically sick, Jesus is your healer. If you got some type of spiritual or emotional sickness that you've been dealing with, Jesus is your healer. And we declare today that by his stripes that you are healed, that we are healed. I know throughout my life that I've seen many people healed of a variety of sicknesses. I shared, I think this first one, maybe years ago when I preached in here. I grew up in a small little Pentecostal church just right down 179, 9 miles down 179 here, Concord Pentecostal Church of God. This was about 40 years ago. I was about 7 or 8 years old. And the pastor's wife, Sister Smith, was my Sunday school teacher. And I remember she came down with pancreatic cancer. And they came to her and they told her, they said, you know what? There's not really much we can do for you. You just need to get your house in order because you're not going to be around. Maybe we might give you 6 months. And so they did tell her, they said, but we can do one procedure to try to make it comfortable for you. And I asked her if she wanted to do that. And she said, yeah, let's go ahead and do that procedure. And I remember as I sat at their kitchen table years ago and I heard Brother Smith tell me the full details of this healing, I was blown away. He said that day we went in there, he said there was a big cancer doctor that came out. He was a big, tall, mean-looking dude. And he took her back to the room. It was supposed to be about 4 or 5 hours procedure. About 30 minutes later, that doctor walks back out into the lobby, just kind of shaking his head, rubbing his forehead. He could tell that something was wrong. He thought, oh my, they have lost her on the operating table. They said, Doc, what's wrong? What's going on? He said, well, I don't understand. He said, I've got the images here that show that the cancer was everywhere on her pancreas. It was all over. And when we went in, I opened it up and there was nothing but a healthy, perfectly healthy pancreas right there. Amen. We sewed her back up, came back out. And friends, that was 40 years ago. And I know Sister Smith still lives in Holt Summit today, almost 90 years old, running around. I saw her at the mall a couple years ago. God is still our healer. One more. I was going to lie to you and say real quick, but this one might take a few moments, but I think it's worth going there today. I'm watching the clock today. I'm reminded of our good friends, Pastor Victor Vega and Kayla from down in Davenport, Florida. Many of you know them. Pastor Vega has been here before. He's preached. There's a picture of him here. And I consider them my pastors from Florida. And anyway, their son played at Lincoln University, and we got to know him through Jonathan playing football up here. But we were down in Florida this past August, and we got to hook up with them and meet halfway. And we were having dinner with them, and they shared this testimony with me. It was amazing. But back when Pastor Vega was just 29 years old, he was diagnosed with the Guillain-Barre syndrome. Some of you may have heard that before, GBS. Kim is shaking her head. I totally butchered it, Kim. She's our resident nurse. I'm going to call it GBS today. How about that? You can tell me the correct pronunciation in between services so I can get it right in a second. But he was around 29 years old, and he came down with this immune system, this disease that attacks the immune system. It attacks the nerves in the feet and the leg, and ultimately it works its way up to the upper extremities, and ultimately it can lead to paralysis, and that's exactly what happened to him. He couldn't walk at all, 29 years old. They had their first son on the way, Victor Jr. And so Pastor Vega, 29 years old, ends up in the hospital, laying there in the bed, just staring straight at the ceiling. He couldn't move, totally paralyzed. He said there was two patients on both sides of me. He said there were older people. And he said one day, one of them passed away. And then the next one, the next day, passed away. Then he said the devil came and visited my bedside. How many know that the devil likes to visit you when you're down? Amen. And he came and told him, he said, I heard him clearly. He said, you're next, Vic, you're next. And he said, I declared into that empty room all by myself that greater is he that is in me than that is in you. And he said, as he was laying there in that bed, I think it was like the next day or so, down the hallway, there was a lady by the name of Tiffany. Tiffany had gotten saved under Pastor Vic's preaching sometime before this event. Tiffany didn't know Pastor Vega was in the hospital. He didn't know that she was in the hospital. She was in because she had a collapsed lung. She was struggling. And so anyway, she got tired of sitting in her room one day, and against the doctor's order, she decides to get up and walk down the hallway to get out of her room. And as she's walking down the hallway, she passes the door where Pastor Vega's at, and on the door it has his name, Victor Vega. And so she thought, is that Pastor Vega? So she leans in the door and says, Pastor Vega. And he said, yeah, yes, who is that? She said, it's Tiffany, it's Tiffany. And he said, oh, come in, come in. He's just left staring at the ceiling. So she comes in and visits for a while and tells what she's there for. And after she shares with him, she begins to walk away. And when she gets to the door, he hollers back out. And he said, Tiffany, Tiffany. She said, what, what? She said, I have a word from the Lord for you. Now get this, friend. Someone who's down on her back. Someone that can't even move. That has lived for the Lord faithfully, is still available to be used and to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, even when it doesn't make sense. And he says, Tiffany, I've got a word for you. I'm sorry if I'm getting excited today. The Lord's our healer. That excites me. I believe he's going to heal some of us today. And Tiffany came back in and he said, I want you to get right over my face and look me nose to nose, eye to eye. And as she did that, he just began to prophesy into her face and said, the Lord wants you to know that today you will be healed and today you're going to walk out of this place. Tiffany, do you receive that word? And she said, yes, I receive it. And so Tiffany leaves the room, goes back down. A few hours later, the doctor comes in and orders another exam on her lungs. And when the images come back, the doctor's shaking his head. He said, I don't understand. Here's a picture of when it was collapsed earlier in the day. And now look at it. It's healthy and whole once again. He said, get out of here. Amen. And Pastor, the story goes on. Pastor Vega ultimately gets out of the hospital. He goes home, but he still can barely walk. He can barely walk with a walker. And so their firstborn is born, and he has to stay home and take care of Victor Jr. But he can't hardly get around the house. So Kayla said they had to take the microwave and all the utensils from the kitchen and put them on the floor throughout the house so that he could scoot around and make microwave meals for him. And here it is, Pastor Vega scooting around the house, trying to take care of his family. He said one day he got a call from a pastor friend of his down around the Tampa area. He said, hey, Pastor Vega, I want you to come and preach for us on this particular Sunday. We're going to have a packed house. We've invited a bunch of people. We want you to bring the word. Without hesitation, he said, I'll be there. He said, I'll be there. He couldn't even walk hardly. So when Kayla said when she got home and found out about that, she was frustrated. She said, I got to admit, I was frustrated. She's like, how are you going to get there? We can't get you there. We got an old car that won't even probably make it. He said, I don't know, but I know the Lord told me I'm supposed to be there. And so Kayla grudgingly obliged, and they loaded up on that one Sunday morning, and they drove down to the Tampa Bay area, and they got to the church. They had some men in the church come out and help bring him into the church. And when he got to the edge of the platform to get ready to preach, they put him up on the platform. They gave him his walker, and he took his walker, and he walked over to the pulpit. And he set his hands on the pulpit with his walker to the side. And he said, I began to declare the scripture that I was going to preach that today. He said, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was Psalm 34:19, which says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. But he said, when I got to the point where it says the Lord delivers him out of them all, he said, I declared he delivers me out of them all. And he began to preach the house down. And as he was preaching, he looked back and he noticed Tiffany was sitting a few rows back. He didn't even know that she was there, the woman that had her lung restored. And when he saw Tiffany, they hadn't planned this or anything. He looked at her and he said, Tiffany, stand and testify what the Lord has done in your life. And Tiffany jumped right up and she began to tell how the Lord healed her and delivered her and how she has been so strong and healthy. And heaven just began to come down in that place. He said he began to feel the infusion of the healing power of the Holy Ghost come upon him. He began to get strength in his legs and in his body. He went over and took that walker, threw it off to the side. He began to dance and jump around that stage. He couldn't even walk in that day. And then he said, I got to the edge of the stage and I jumped off and I yelled, Geronimo. Hallelujah. The Lord healed him as he was preaching. The next morning he gets up, Monday morning, and he tells Kayla, he said, I'm going to see my doctor. What do you call it, Kim? Is it the neurologist, something? The neurologist. I want to make sure I get that right. I don't want you laughing at me anymore today. Kayla said, you can't go to the doctor. You don't have an appointment. He said, no, he needs to see me today. So he said, I went and I marched in the doctor's office. She said, I went up to the reception and said, I'm here to see doctor, whatever his name was. And she said, well, I'm sorry, but you don't have an appointment today. He said, oh, trust me. He wants to see me today. I just want to see him for a few moments. So they arranged it. He went to the back room there, sat down with the doctor. He said he was a Jewish doctor, a very smart, you know, man, but he was not a believer. He said, I shared what Jesus did for me. And he said, that doctor sat there, and he said, I saw tears coming down his cheek. He said, well, Vic, sounds like you got what you wanted. He said, I'm glad for you. I want you to get out of here and don't ever come back again. So Vic got up, walked out, but he got his healing. He said, I don't know if that doctor ever gave his life to the Lord, but you know what? Our God is a healer. Amen? He is our healer. They're actually coming up here in October, and they're going to be staying with us, so I look forward to them being with us. But Jesus, in Matthew 10:8, he said, heal the sick. I know some people want to say, well, we don't heal anybody. But Jesus told us, you heal the sick. But you know, we recognize what he's getting at. Through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, through the authority of Jesus' name that we're going to talk about for just a few moments this morning, we carry that gospel power to speak healing into people's lives. Amen. We also see that Jesus came to share his agenda with the disciples. In Mark 16, I'm picking up the pace here. Jesus saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. They were fishermen. Jesus told them, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. And then John 20 and verse 21, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Friends, as Jesus walked this earth ministering to the hurting, teaching about the kingdom of God, he was looking for those that he could trust to follow him. He was looking for those that he could trust to carry this beautiful message of the gospel to the rest of the world. And I submit to you this morning that he's continuing to look for those whom he can trust. Don't begin to fall for the devil's lies for one moment to begin to think you're not smart enough, that you're not adequate enough, that he needs to pick someone else. I want to submit to you today, it's through the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that when a life is yielded to him, God can do amazing things. Friends, he called four fishermen as his first disciples. He didn't go to try to interview the greatest theologians of his day. And why was that? because he knew that he can trust them to carry this message to the rest of the world. And so today, I ask you, can he trust you? Have you been carrying this gospel, this good news to the rest of the world? He wants you to have the same agenda for your life. And next, we consider quickly Jesus's ministry authority. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." That means if Jesus has all authority, that means there's someone with no authority. Satan. Because Jesus has all authority. Authority means the freedom and right to decide or act. Jesus' authority came from God the Father in heaven. So when he ministered on earth, he had the full support of the Heavenly Father behind him. So as you can imagine, he went out in boldness. Friends, we can go out at that same boldness. The Word of God says that the righteous are as bold as lions. And as he went out, the crowds recognized his authorities. They were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And even the demons recognized his authority. Many times the demons, they would cry out in his presence. They would say, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Even as you work through the book of Mark and you look at Jesus' earthly ministry, it was probably a good year and a half that the disciples spent with Jesus before they even recognized who he was. But the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, they've always known who Jesus is. They've always known about his authority. And as I thought about this, I was reminded of a story that one of my friends told me, a pastor friend of mine, Steve, who pastors in one of the Assembly of God churches in the Southern Missouri District. He told me, he's my age, he's probably about 47 or 48, but about 25 years ago, when he was in his early 20s, he was helping at a youth revival at Sheffield Assembly in Kansas City, Missouri. If you remember, Pastor George Westlake came last year and preached that revival for us. It was at his church. But they had a youth revivalist, a youth evangelist that came through and was preaching a revival. And he said one afternoon he was assigned to kind of tend to the youth evangelist, and they went down to a local gas station there in inner city, Kansas City. And he says, "We're standing in line, there's a couple people ahead of us." He said, "All of a sudden, the man in front of us turns around, and with a low, growly voice, a firm voice, he points at this this youth evangelist, and he says, 'I know who you are.'" Didn't know this guy one bit. This guy turns and said, "I know who you are." And Steve said that youth evangelist, without hesitation, pointed right back at him, and he said, "I know who you are too. And in the name of Jesus, you come out of him." And that guy hit the floor, was flopping all over the ground, and ultimately that demon came out of that guy and set him free right in the middle of a Kansas City gas station. Steve said, "I felt a little short." He didn't say anything about knowing me, so... Satan knows. Satan knows the authority of Jesus Christ. One more real quick. My parents used to attend a Pentecostal church on the east in town, east side of Jefferson City. Several years ago on a Sunday night, Dad was up leading the worship service at a small Pentecostal church, leading the worship service. Dad's pretty charismatic if you know him. And as they were having song service, a guy came in the back door, sat down on the back seat, sat there for a few moments, and in the middle of the song service, he got up and he started walking towards the front, right down the middle of the aisle there. And as he was coming, Dad said, you could see those demons begin to manifest in his body, in his life. His eyes began to roll. He began to have some convulsions. The pastor was on the platform, hollered out, "There's a devil in the house," he hollered out. And Dad saw him and began to speak in the name of Jesus over him. That demon-possessed man, he hit the floor, start flopping all around. And he said, for the next 45 minutes, we gathered around him and we pled the blood of Jesus. We spoke the name of Jesus over him. And finally, those demons came out of that man. And he said, I'll never forget what he looked like. When those demons came out and that man sat up, Dad said he had the most peaceful glow on his face that he had ever seen. An amazing countenance. countenance, on his face. Friends, there's power and authority in Jesus' name. Amen? Heidi, would you and the worship team come up, please? I want to leave a few minutes at the end today for us to respond. Jesus shared that authority with his disciples. Jesus, when he shared that authority with his disciples, he expected them to go out and to do likewise. And we see throughout the whole book of Acts, the apostles just doing amazing miracles, one after another. We see one clear example of this in Acts chapter 16 when the apostle Paul was in Ephesus. It says that once while Paul and the others that he was with, that they were going to the place of prayer. As they were going there, they were met by a female slave who had the spirit by which she predicted the future. The Bible says that she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. It said that she followed Paul and the rest of them, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." The Bible says that she kept this up for many days, and finally, the Apostle Paul became so annoyed at her presence, so annoyed at her yelling out to them over and over and over, that he turned to them one day and said, turned to her and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. Friends, that same authority in Jesus' name is available to us today. Amen? It's not changed. I feel like at this point we need to stand, because we need to leave some time here. We need to leave at least a few moments for the Holy Spirit to anoint some of us. I believe that that's what this whole message was about, is the anointing and the authority and the power of Jesus' name on our life. So today, as we prepare to respond, I want to ask you, what kind of anointing have you been carrying on your life? Have you been going out each and every day with the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon you? I've heard it said that the Holy Spirit in you is for you, but the Holy Spirit resting on you is for others. You know, there were times in Scripture where others recognized that there were certain disciples that had been with Jesus, that had been with the Holy Spirit. So have you been living your life under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit? So as we go to the Lord today in prayer and worship, I just want to invite you and encourage you today. Say, "God, I'm opening up my life right now. I'm inviting you. I'm welcoming you to anoint me. I want to live a Spirit-filled ministry life. I want my ministry life to make a difference. I want it to look like yours, Jesus. If it hasn't, that's okay. Just correct that today." Can we do that in these final few moments? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and worship today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you have sent the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost upon our lives. How we need that, Lord, especially as we live in these last days. We know that things are going to get worse probably before they get better, Lord. So, Lord God, we need to make sure that we're living, ministering, operating under your power. So today, Lord God, for those that maybe have been coming up short in this area, I pray that right now that you would fill them, that you would flood them, that you would give them faith to speak whatever sickness may, to speak to whatever sickness may be in their life, a sickness that might be in the life of a friend or a family member. May they speak authority over it today. Take authority over it in Jesus' name.